I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our contemporary reading is taken from the book Praying with Open Hands by Henry Nouwen. We know there is some connection between prayer and silence, but if we think about silence in our lives, it seems that it isn't always peaceful. Silence can also be frightening. Just as there are two nights, there are two silences. One is frightening, the other peaceful. For many, silence is threatening. They don't know what to do with it. Thus, for many of us, silence has become a threat. There was a time when silence was normal and a lot of noise disturbed us. But today, noise is the normal fare and silence, strange as it may seem, has become the disturbance. It is not hard to understand why people who experience silence in this way have difficulty with prayer. Our scripture reading is taken from the first book of Kings from the Hebrew Testament, chapter 19, verses 11 to 13, from the NRSV translation. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us today.
So today is Laetare Sunday or the fourth Sunday of Lent, at mapapansin nyo naka-pink si Pastor because Laetare Sunday is the Sunday of rejoicing because we are halfway through Lent and we are anticipating the coming of Easter. So kaya pink. So for this Sunday, we are continuing with the preaching series Open Hands, a preaching series on prayer. And there is no talk of prayer without talking about silence. Walang pag-uusap tungkol sa panalangin kung hindi pag-uusapan ang katahimikan o pananahimik. The opening line of our contemporary reading today from Henry Nouwen says, and I quote, "There is a connection between prayer and silence." End of quote. And again, this is present in almost all spiritual traditions beyond and outside of Christianity, yung silence, the call to silence. Many forms of prayer practices require silence, not only externally, our surroundings, but more importantly, internal silence. So let us pray. Loving God, we ask that you speak to us today in the silence of our hearts and in the many moments of silence in our lives. Teach us silence, God. And today we ask that your Holy Spirit may anoint my lips of clay so that the meditations of my heart be so pleasing to you and that the words that will proceed from my mouth, from my heart, from my mind, that will come out of my mouth will be seeds that will be planted upon the hearts and minds and lives of your people, so that planted there, your words may grow and bear fruit, fruits of the Spirit in their lives, transforming them as they transform the world. This I pray in the name of the same Jesus Christ and all that is holy and loving. Amen. So bakit nga ba? Bakit natin kailangang manahimik paminsan-minsan? Or Better yet, bakit kailangan natin ng silence? Bakit kailangan natin gawing regular ang silence sa ating buhay? Possible ba na talaga tayo ay manahimik? Posible ba? Is it possible for absolute silence? This actually got me curious if there is such a thing as absolute silence. So I searched, nag-search ako sa Google, and yung mga unang lumabas na articles ay nagsasabing, because according to physicists, absolute silence is almost not possible. The smallest or absolute minimum sound is the sound of particles moving through space and different states of matter, moving from solid, liquid, and into gas. And so if absolute silence is not possible, then why do almost all spiritual traditions call us into silence? And in Christianity, and why are we called into silence in Christianity? Silence in prayer. What do we mean by silence? Does silence mean not hearing? Wala tayong pakikinggan, no sound at all. We do not hear or listen to any sound at all. A call to silence is not so much as a call to not hear, but rather silence in prayer calls or captures, wants to capture our attention and ask us, tanungin tayo, saan ba nakafocus ang ating attention? Saan ba tayo nakikinig? Ano ba ang pinagtutuunan ng ating pansin, ng ating attention? A call to silent prayer is ultimately a call to assess which stimulants do we lend our ears and our eyes. Are there things we listen to and look at that we give our attention to? Are they noise? Are they merely noise and clutter? What is noise after all? Noise, by its definition, means an uncomfortable sound. And it is uncomfortable because it is unnecessary. It is not necessary for living. Henry Nouwen tells us in his book about prayer, and I quote, "But today, noise is the normal fare, and silence, strange as it may seem, has become the disturbance." Sabi ni Henry Nouwen, sa panahon natin ngayon, naging normal na yung ingay. Ingay na ang naging normal at yung silence ang naging ang atin ang tinuturing na disturbance. Noise has become the norm. We have chosen noise to be the source of comfort and senseless clutter as our entertainment. The unnecessary and uncomfortable stimulants have become our temporary escape and cure. More than that, it is the noisy and the extravagant that we now use to determine our value and success. Kung wala kang 100,000 subscribers at wala kang 100,000 likes, you cannot call yourself as successful. We choose noise and the loud, and we ourselves, tayo mismo, ay nagiging noisy. Our lives becomes noisy and loud, which in some situations are hinihingi naman ng pagkakataon. However, kung puro na lang ingay, puro na lang noise and loudness, at yun na ang naging standard ng ating affirmation and acceptance, may problema tayo. If we have the thinking that if it is not loud and bombastic, it cannot be considered a success or an achievement, then there is some problem there. This is where we take off from our scripture reading today. Our scripture reading today tells us how the exhausted, complaining and angry prophet Elijah encountered the presence of God in the sound of sheer silence. Other translations give us whispering silence. No, na-encounter niya si God sa whispering silence. But before that encounter with God in Mount Horeb, yung kwento kasi niyan, at some of us know this from Sunday school, this story about the confrontation of Elijah with the prophets of Baal and Asherah sa Mount Carmel. So before this encounter with God in Mount Horeb, nagkaroon ng isang malaki at bonggang eksena si Elijah with the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And that is in chapter 18, no? In chapter 18 of the book of the first book of Kings. We are told of the great competition between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal and another 400 prophets of Asherah. Hinamon ng propetang si Elijah si King Ahab. Sabi niya, dalhin mo ang lahat ng mga propeta ni Baal at ni Asherah, dalhin mo sa Mount Carmel, magkakaroon kami ng contest. Once and for all, magkaalaman na sino ba ang tunay na Diyos at sino ang tunay na mga propeta. At ang challenge niya ay ganito, gagawa kami, each of us will create an altar and an offering sa altar. At yung Diyos na magpaliyab ng altar, siya ang ituturing na tunay na Diyos at dapat sambahin ng Israel. And so, ang kwento ay ganito ang nangyari. So, lahat sila nagpunta sa Mount Carmel. Ando din ang mga elders at mga representatives ng 10 tribes of Israel, the Northern Kingdom of Israel. At andun si King Ahab, andun yung mga propeta, andun si Elijah. So, sa contest, nauna yung prophets ni Baal. Gumawa sila ng altar, nagprepare ng alay doon. At halos buong araw silang nagdasal, nagsayaw, nagchant, at nung nagiging desperado na sila, they lacerate themselves to make a desperate appeal to their god Baal. At nung talagang malapit na maggabi at wala pa rin nangyayari, so ikaw naman Elijah. So si Elijah naman, no, gumawa ng altar. Kumuha siya ng 12 stones, 12 dosing mga bato representing the 12 tribes or the 12 tribes of Israel. At naglagay din ng kahoy doon, nagprepare din siya ng kanyang alay. At nung nagdasal siya, Panginoon, ipakita mo ang iyong kapangyarihan, no? Right after niyang magdasal, the story tells us that fire fell upon the altar prepared by Elijah. At lahat ay natupok. Everything was consumed. The stone, the wood, the offering, and even the dust. No, at yung altar na ginawa ni Elijah, basang-basa yun. Kasi binasa niya pa yun ng apat na malalaking, apat na containers ng tubig. And there was even a trench around the altar, water trench around the altar. And everything was consumed by the fire that came down from heaven. So may malaking pa-fireworks, pa-fire from heaven si Yahweh sa pamamagitan ng kanyang propetang si Elijah. And everything was consumed. And after that confrontation, the famine and drought in the northern kingdom of Israel ended, and there was again rain in all the land, the northern kingdom of Israel. Pero after noon, galit na galit si Queen Jezebel, yung asawa ni Haring Ahab, kasi natalo niya, tinalo ni Elijah yung kanyang mga propeta ng kanyang Diyos na si Baal at ni Asherah. And part of the story is that Elijah executed, killed all 450 and 400 prophets. Although at that part, medyo hindi naman ako agree, pero yun yung nakasulat sa kwento, and it is a preaching for another time, another place. So, basta yun ang kwento. After the great show of fireworks by God through Elijah. Pero after nun, so galit na galit yung si Rey ng Jezebel, at nagpadala siya ng sulat kay Elijah, telling Elijah, "Tomorrow, I will kill you. May the gods do more to me if tomorrow I do not have you killed. Bukas, sisiguraduhin kong dedo ka, Elijah." At lumikas si Elijah punong-puno ng takot. Elijah went away in fear of his life. Takot na takot, nagtatatarang papaalis si Elijah, papaalis ng Northern Kingdom of Israel, papunta sa Mount Horeb in the south. I'm assuming, nag-a-assume ako at nag-i-imagine ako, na bago umalis si Elijah sa Samaria, in the Northern Israel, nag-a-assume at nag-i-imagine ako na ipinagdasal niya na sana, Panginoon, gusto akong patayin ng hari at reyna, lalong-lalo na nung reyna ng si Jezebel. Yung apoy na pinadala mo sa Mount Carmel, ipadala mo rin sa palasyo ng hari at reyna. Tupukin mo rin sila, tapusin mo rin sila. Pero walang ganong nangyari. Walang apoy na bumagsak mula sa langit, mula sa palasyo ng Samaria. Bakit? So yun ang tanong, bakit? At maaaring yun din ang tanong ni Elijah. Panginoon, a few days ago, you sent fire from heaven that consumed an offering, an altar, and the stones, the water, and even the dust of the earth. Now, they want to kill me. Can you not send the same fire? Can you not send the same fireworks so that all of this is already done and over with? Hindi yun nakasulat, but I am imagining, we can safely imagine and assume the prophet Elijah would have prayed that. And therefore, his only resort is to run away in fear. Fearing for his life, he ran away and went his way to Mount Horeb, the holy mountain where Moses also encountered God and received the commandments, the covenant. I guess he went there not only for safety, but to complain to God. And on the way to Mount Horeb, malayo yon, and wala namang kabayo si Elijah, most likely naglakad o tumakbo lang siya, or at best, meron siyang donkey, diba? Pero most likely naglakad lang siya. At may mga humahabol sa kanyang mga assassins, mga military ng hari at reyna. Along the way, nagre-reklamo si Elijah, ang propetang Elijah. And there was a point where Elijah said and complained and he vent out all his frustrations with God. And he said, "It is enough. It is enough. Enough na, tama na. Take away my life, Lord. Kunin mo na lang ang aking buhay." And ganito ko siya na-imagine, no? Ganito ko siya na-imagine. Tama na. Enough na. Ayoko na. Tama na itong kalokohang ito. After everything that I have done, everything that the passion that I had for you, Lord, for your law, for your covenant, after everything, patayin mo na lang ako. After all, may mga assassins naman, may mga humahabol naman sa akin na gusto rin akong patayin. Yun ang naging reklamo ni Elijah. Pero hindi siya sinalag ng Diyos. Hindi nakipag-argue ang Diyos. Hindi in-invalidate ng Diyos ang mga nararamdaman o mga sinabi ni Elijah. Kaya sa story to, pwede rin itong story to preach about mental health. God did not invalidate the feelings and thoughts and complaints of Elijah, even when Elijah was suicidal. Di ba? Kundi, patayin mo na lang ako, sabi niya. May I die, sabi ni Elijah. Instead, God allowed Elijah to vent out, to complain. And along the way, God provided for the food, the nourishment of Elijah, and also gave him moments of rest. After a success, he finds himself again from whence he started, running for his life. Nakakawala ng gana, nakakawala ng dignity to see himself again where he started. Tanong niya siguro sa sarili niya, why should I be subjected again to this humiliation and physical exhaustion when you have already showed your power? Noise is not only external, it is also internal. Although many of our internal noise, many noises happening in our minds are also influenced by the external noise. The external noise and the visual clutter we feed ourselves. In this situation, Elijah was filled with a lot of anxiety and anger as external forces wanted to kill him, wanted to eliminate him. At the same time, all his frustrations and feelings were valid. As I've said kanina, hindi ni-reject o in-invalidate ng Diyos ang kanyang nararamdaman. Sabi ni Reverend Nadia Bolz Weber, one of the Lutheran pastors, famous Lutheran pastor and theologian, and some other preachers na nabasa at narinig ko na, makakapag-preach lang daw tayo effectively if we preach from the testimony of our own lives, my own life, and my own struggle. Ang aking struggles being embraced and surrounded by the gospel or good news. And so I preach with the truth of my own struggles, connecting it to the struggle of Elijah and in the context of prayer and silence. Every now and then, I have said that I am tired. The last time that I said that I was tired, napapagod ako, was during the memorial of Kuya Mike Mia noong February 14. And over time, so many things have started to weigh me down, especially when you have been a member and a leader of the same church for 11 years and its pastor for 5 years. So, other than the government and the pandemic, no, taking the government and the pandemic out of the situation, out of the context, there are a whole lot of other things that were putting my spirit down. And in one way, it is good naman, no? It is good naman na ang isang leader o isang pastor constantly reflects and checks himself and introspects at kine-question ang kanyang sarili. So in one way, okay naman yun. Yung questionin mo ang sarili mo, am I still productive? Am I still effective? Okay pa ba ako? Because in a way, it helps you to identify things that you need to improve on, things that you need to correct in yourself. But what I have failed to notice was that I was slowly and unaware. I was not aware that in my process of introspection and reflection or discernment, I was also filling, pinupuno ko ang aking buhay at spirituality with a lot of unnecessary noise. I was caught unaware that I was begging the success of Open Table MCC and of my ministry towards the spectacular and the bombastic. I was comparing or putting the standard of ministry and of the church towards social media metrics and speaking engagements. I was starting to feel that I'm failing. I am failing myself. I am failing the church. I am failing my network. I was starting to imagine words of disappointment from friends and colleagues. Nag-i-imagine na ako ng mga boses, mga salita ng mga kaibigan at mga kasama sa gawain, words of disappointment. After what we claim to be God's provisions and miracles on keeping Open Table MCC alive, especially after we have found this new chapel home, I'm feeling frustrated and even resentful why things are the way they are right now. And I keep on telling myself, the only one to blame is myself. After all, the bucket ends with the leader. In this case, with the pastor. Because of this internal noise, there were many times since January of 2020, last year, that I have asked myself, maraming beses ko nang tinanong ang aking sarili, oras na ba? Is it time? Is it time for me to resign as the pastor of Open Table because ang naiisip ko ay hindi, at na-imagine ko ay hindi na ako effective, I'm no longer effective, perhaps I'm no longer needed, hindi na ako yung kailangan ng Open Table for its ministry to move and expand. Worst of all, I finally said to God, after the consecutive deaths of Sherwin and Kuya Mike, finally sinabi ko sa Diyos, enough na, Lord. Enough na. Tama na. Ayoko na. Kaya ngayon yung sabi ko nung funeral, memorial service ni Kuya Mike, pagod na ako. Not only did my inner voice told me that I was ineffective, it also told me na namamatayan ako ng mga members. Not just any members, but members who were active, who were good, who were generous. Tulad ni Kuya Mike, si Mike, a member, a long-time member, an elder of the church na pinanghuhugutan ko ng lakas. At si Sherwin na bago lang sa church, but in our conversations, in our interactions, someone who gives me hope for the future of Open Table. At syempre, yun din si Choi noong 2019. And when I was writing this sermon for the fourth time, apat na beses kong sinulat ang sermon today, apat na drafts, I realized that there was too much noise I have inside of my head, of my heart. There's too much noise, too much clutter. While there may be some basis to everything I have been thinking, feeling, and reflecting, I have realized that maybe I'm assessing it not only in an exaggerated way, I might also be using all this internal voice. I'm using it as an excuse to go and do what I thought was the easier way. And the easier way was to resign. Like Elijah, perhaps there are many valid truths and feelings he had. But because he was so deep in those thoughts and in those feelings, he simply wanted to give up and die. He said, enough. Just take me away. So like Elijah, there has been a lot of noise in my head, and even in my own prayers, there has been a lot of noise that I have fed myself by comparing myself and Open Table MCC to what I presume to be the success of other pastors and other churches. I have lost track. I gave into fear and anxiety and desperation and hopelessness. Have you had similar experiences, similar instances, or circumstances, nagkaroon na ba kayo ng kaparehong pakiramdam at karanasan na hindi nyo nare-realize you are just overthinking? There is just too much noise going on. And that I got shaken awake when I was trying to write this sermon on prayer and silence. I got shaken by reading Rachel Held Evans' book, Searching for Sunday. I also got woken up by listening to the podcast interview of paulitod kong sinabi kaniya si Reverend Nadia Bolsweber, yung kanyang podcast interview by Peter Enns. I was shaken and realized that I need to stop and pause and that I need to have a personal retreat, as all of us need a pause and a time to rest. Pausing and retreating not to binge watch or to scroll down Facebook and YouTube for an entire day or week. No. Which frankly is something that ang naisip ko, na-realize ko, Facebook ng Facebook, YouTube ng YouTube. And there were days that Facebook and YouTube were eating my whole day or most of my day. But many of these things in YouTube and Facebook are the very noise, the very clutter that causes me to feel exhausted, tired, and anxious. What I thought to be moments of rest, thinking that these things, this clutter and this noise, I keep on feeding myself, thinking that this will give me energy and motivation again. I suddenly realized that these things are the very things, too much of those things has become noise. And too much of those things are those that made me feel exhausted, tired. These are the channels where I have been comparing myself and our church community to others. And I was not aware of it. Like Elijah, I got preoccupied with the noise of my internal rumblings and expected that ministry, I expected that ministry will always be the fabulous fireworks on top of a mountain. I have expected that ministry, the success of ministry, is always to have what is amazing and to witness strong winds shattering stones, earthquakes, and even more and more fireworks. But God teaches us and shows us that while there might be great works of power, which in and of themselves does not come from our own effort and abilities, God is also encountered, if not more encountered, in those moments of whispering silence when our aching heart stops from all the chatter and our anxious mind stops all the bickering. Silence and prayer calls us to stop. Stop. Not for us to stop hearing the world, not for us to close our eyes to those around us. Silence and prayer calls us to readjust our ears, the focus of our ears and the focus of our eyes, and become aware of how much unnecessary noise and clutter we have inside and the noise outside that we put inside. We are called to silence in prayer, not so that we may hear less or see less, but rather silence calls us so that we may see and to see clearer and hear better. It is also by silencing our own noise and refocusing our attention that we begin to hear the sound of oppression and injustice, because perhaps we have used the noise in order to drown out the sound of the suffering world. In silence, we are able to see the true measure of everything that we have done and will continue to do. Sa totoo lang, yung inner voice of disappointment, hindi naman talaga yung boses ng Diyos eh. At hindi naman yun ang totoong boses natin. It is just noise, influenced by external noise of the world. Silence in prayer tells you that you are enough. You are not alone. And you do not have to do everything by yourself all the time. You are enough. You are sufficient. And God recognizes everything that you have done. In the silence, God recognizes all your complaints, all your frustration, all your exhaustion. After all, it is only in silence and in prayer we can be our truest self, ang pinakatotoong sarili natin. Only in silence we can be our truest self before God, who comes to us in a gentle whisper, full of grace, full of love. Silence in prayer also helps us to discern properly what to do next and where to go from where we are. Because we are now listening more. We are listening more than we are talking to a vending machine God or to a God of Netflix and YouTube. When we finally stop and try to listen in silence, we start to recognize God and God's voice for what it truly is. A gentle, intimate whisper in the midst of all competing noises. Amen.